Billy Ocean. Okay, up next, K-Boo's got other events coming up, other shows coming up. We'll be back next week. Mike, what's coming up after us today, my man?
We got Fight the Empire with your host, Pear.
With the Fight the Empire. Pear will put it down. You know, he's hardworking K-Boo for years. Don't forget the K-Boo Give Guide of Willamette Week newspaper. They've got the Give Guide going on. You can donate this, donate that, and you can donate to K-Boo and other good charities. Freeman X out. We'll be back next week, Juneteenth Radio. Thank you for listening and being part of the K-Boo family. Amen.
Chicks hunt them, neighborhood know we coming. JK them, snakes cannot violate them. Pimps memorize his lines verbatim. He reps in YO, gives C-notes to Y-nos. Not church, this how we tithe though. He walks a tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back Mac and Benzes. Never puts cash or ass before a friendship. He laughs last, as some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM K282BH Philomath and on 104.3 FM and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. It is November 19th, 2020. Live coming from you to this from the studios of KBOO Community Radio. This is Fight the Empire with your host Pear.
Well, good morning. This is Pear Fygren calling in from the Winter Palace in Southeast Portland with the next episode of Fight the Empire. Well, it looks like Donald Trump has been dumped. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are in the White House for the next 4 years, and we might wonder what lies ahead. We might ask you, what do you see lying ahead? Call in 503-231-8187 with your prognostications. But first, it looks like Trump is not going quietly. He's planning a last-minute crackdown on China. Also, he was thinking about an airstrike on Iran, and apparently he was talked out of it. This is according to the New York Times. And the latest is that he has ordered new sanctions have been imposed on Iran. I suppose the purpose is to sabotage, make things more difficult for Joe Biden when he takes office in January. This is really kind of dirty pool they're doing here, but this is the way the Trump administration seems to be working. The Treasury Department imposed sanctions on 6 Iranian companies and 4 individuals, and it's the latest in a long string of sanctions imposed on Iran so far. And they have the thing to keep in mind is that they have not been working. There was a nuclear agreement with Iran, and then when Trump took office, he dumped it. And at the same time, he they were calling on Iran to not only keep on in terms with this agreement, but to make it even stronger. And so now the Trump administration has making more demands and dumping this agreement. And these demands far surpass the requirements of the previous nuclear accord that Trump scrapped and other Western powers are still supporting. This is from the Asia Times. By any measure, and by Pompeo's own admission, U.S. pressure has wholly failed to curb Iran's nuclear program. All sanctions have hurt the economy. Indeed, Iran's selective noncompliance with the agreement in reaction to America's unilateral withdrawal has brought Iran that much closer to the threshold of nuclearization. In other words, despite Pompeo's claims that coercive sanctions have been a critical tool of national security, in reality, the measures have increased the risk of proliferation. It's a strategic reality a Biden administration is expected to address through more conciliatory measures. But Trump is he's going out in a sort of a burst of vindictiveness, imposing these sanctions, making things more difficult for incoming President-elect Joseph Biden. So this is something we will have to keep an eye on. We see how Biden deals with this. If you want to call in with your prognostications, give us a call at 503-231-8187. One thing about the incoming administration, Joe Biden is 78 years old, so without being too gloomy about things, it's possible that by the time, sometime in the next 4 years, Kamala Harris will finish his term. Well, so far, Joe Biden has said he will restore the Paris Climate Agreement on day one, and he will rejoin the World Health Organization, and will rejoin the UN Human Rights Council, and he will renew support of NATO and extend the New START treaty, which with Russia, this is called the Anchor of Strategic Stability with Russia, and he will end support from ongoing war in Yemen, which is being waged by Saudi Arabia. Apparently, Biden sees China as the main threat, which is not very good news. But we can wonder what he has, what this last minute continuation of Trump's China crackdown entails. In the meantime, Biden is assembling a foreign policy team, which has been criticized by others as being a pre-warlike team. We can, looking through my papers here, to see who are the people on this team. One of them is Susan Rice. Well, actually, we talked about a few weeks ago. She was apparently will be the national security advisor. She had been dealings with the ill-fated venture in Libya, in Benghazi, and she is supposed to be selected for she will be the next Secretary of State. Another person is Michelle Flournoy, and she's a co-founder of the Center for New American Security, who is apparently will become the Secretary of Defense. And Michelle Flournoy is a hawk. This group that she has founded, the Center for New American Security, is financed by donations from wheeler dealers in the military-industrial complex. And she's also co-founder of West Exec Advisors, which is a consulting group that that helps companies win lucrative contracts with the Pentagon. Also at West Exec Advisors was Tony Blinken, who is set to become President Biden's National Security Advisor. He was the National Security Advisor for Biden when he was Vice President, and then he was a Deputy Security Advisor for President Obama and also Deputy Secretary of State. Now, all three of these people, together with Joe Biden, they promoted the 2003 war on Iraq, and they have supported all the wars since then that that the Obama administration has launched or continued against some seven countries. This is according to a website, the Moon of Alabama, if you want to look it up. President-elect Biden has said he will reinstate the nuclear agreement with Iran, but with amendments. And according to Moon of Alabama, an analysis shows that Iran is likely to reject any modifications of the original deal. And this is what they say. The Biden administration will face the harsh reality that amendments to the agreement that it needs to make it return politically viable or unacceptable to Iran. The new U.S. administration will more than likely find itself in a situation in which sanctions, including those on oil exports, must be maintained in an effort to pressure Iran to yield to U.S. demands to modify this joint comprehensive pact. So, in other words, it looks like the Biden administration will rejoin the pact, but with amendments that cannot be fulfilled. There'll also be much pressure by the liberal hawks to finish the war they launched against Syria by again intensifying it. Trump had ended the CIA's jihadi supply program, and it looks like the Biden team may well reintroduce such a scheme. Susan Rice has criticized Trump's Doha deal with the Taliban. Under a Biden administration, U.S. troop levels in Afghanistan are therefore likely to again increase. Well, this is interesting because right now the Trump administration is in negotiations with the Taliban to reduce our troop level in Afghanistan. And apparently there will be 2,500 troops coming out of there. Biden and his team also supported the coup attempt in Venezuela, and they have apparently their criticism is that it's not being done right. So besides Susan Rice, we have Michelle Flournoy on the foreign policy team. Also, the This is again according to Moon of Alabama, Asia is a place where Biden's policies may be less confrontational than Trump's. China would heave a big sigh of relief if Biden picks Rice as his Secretary of State. Beijing knows her well, and she had a hands-on role in remolding the relationship from engagement to selective competition, which could well be the post-Trump China policies. Altogether, the Biden-Harris regime will be a continuation of the Obama regime. Its foreign policies will have awful consequences for a lot of people on this planet. Domestically, the Biden-Harris will revive all the bad feelings that led to the election of Donald Trump, and according to Moon of Alabama, that setting the stage for a return of somebody, either Trump or somebody like him, in 4 years from now, in 2024. Well, in judging whether which administration will be worse for world peace, our huge war budget remains. I believe it's something like $175 billion for the official budget. Of course, there are add-ons and extras and hidden charges, so probably the real figure remains, comes closer to $1 trillion a year preparing for war. And we might keep in mind that this military budget was put in place, and always has been, by a bipartisan vote. So this is I believe the last budget was voted in by I think only about a dozen or so senators voted against it. I think we might be proud of our two senators, Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden. They were opposed to this war budget. And so we are, the only state in the country where both senators have voted against this huge military budget. What it does, besides just preparing for war, when you prepare for war, generally you wind up fighting some kind of a war. But it takes money. This is money that could be spent in many other ways. I'm sure anybody out there listening to this can think of better ways for our country to spend its money. We have local, we have education and medical care are hurting for funds. We have all kinds of humane projects that could use more money, that could be enlarged, but they are being starved because this bulk of so much of our federal spending is going to the Pentagon. So this looks like it may continue under President Biden. In some ways, he's so much better than Donald Trump, but he's continuing this this war spending path. If you're out there, what do you? How do you see the next 4 years? Do you think that? I think everybody is pretty happy to see the last of. Well, we hope it's the last of Donald Trump, although he keeps stirring up trouble everywhere he goes. He is. Trying to make things difficult for the Biden-Harris team, and so that that they cannot carry out their plans. And so looks like Donald Trump, in one way or another, will be with us for quite a while. But this does not bode well for the future of this country. We have this, it's kind of divided in very partisan lines, but in some ways it's united on war spending. And as far as I can see, looks like the Biden team has its own wars going on, its own plans for conflict around the world. When you have this huge military budget, you wind up using it in one way or another. It's kind of a threat to the rest of the world. The U.S. Still wants to be the kind of the number one power in the world, with the ability to dictate to other countries what they can and cannot do. And this is, I think, one of the things at the root of our conflicts with Russia. That President Putin, whatever you may think of him, he has been calling for a kind of a multipolar world, where you have several powers that they hopefully they can collaborate in peace and kind of keep it orderly, you know, a orderly state of affairs going in the world. But does not work so well when one power claims to be the supreme power and able to dictate to others. One thing about Biden, which I think we should keep an eye on, is what he might have in mind for Ukraine. During the Obama administration, Joe Biden was called the point man on Ukraine. And what the U.S. is doing there was interfering with a country right on Russia's borders. We helped overthrow an elected president, Viktor Yanukovych, who was considered friendly to Russia, but he was elected, and the U.S. helped overthrow him. I don't know if you remember when Victoria Nuland, who was Assistant Secretary of State, was in the streets of Kiev during these street uprisings, passing out cookies to the people out there in the streets. And she was actually overheard on a phone call to the U.S. ambassador, deciding who would be the next president of Ukraine once Yanukovych was ousted, which actually happened. Yanukovych kind of left the scene, apparently in fear for his life from all the violence going on. There's some mysterious snipers on rooftops who were shooting people on both sides in this conflict. And Yanukovych went to Russia, and he was his position was taken over by the person that was mentioned by Victoria Nuland. And she was she said Yats is the man. Well, Yats is Yatsenyuk, who was briefly president of Ukraine, but then he was ousted, and that right now it's Petroshenko, a chocolate billionaire, who is running Ukraine. In the meantime, Ukraine, if you look at the map, Ukraine has sort of got funny borders. It's a very divided country. In fact, for a long time in its history, Ukraine did not have borders. And in fact, Ukraine means borderland in Russian, and it was the way this borders are now. Ukraine is sort of, there is a central portion which where the Ukrainian people, the Ukrainian language is in the majority, but a huge territory in eastern Ukraine is populated by Russian speakers. And Yanukovych, who was ousted, was their candidate for president. And remember, so the situation was that their president was ousted after being democratically elected, and this new president was put in. And so this started a kind of a separatist movement in Ukraine, and you've had ongoing war between these two portions of Ukraine. I think the last I heard, something like 13,000 people had died in this war. So this is when you say that Biden was point man for this, he was kind of in charge of our policy for Ukraine. And what he intends to do there now, well, we can wonder about. We can guess. It doesn't look very hopeful to me. This seems to be an ongoing sore point between the U.S. and Russia. The thing is, there's been lots of criticisms of Vladimir Putin. Many of them are well founded, but I can't think of anything that Putin is doing that will be resolved or helped or combated by putting troops on Russia's borders. Hopefully that if Russia is left alone, they will see the way to a better form of government. But putting troops along Russia's borders and stirring up trouble in one of the allies does not seem the way to bring about reforms in Russia. If you have any opinions on this, give us a call, 503-231-8187.
Pierre, you do have a caller on the line. Bruce would like to add some comments.
Okay, we got Bruce on the line. Bruce, good morning.
Hi. I think that what you've said about the whole foreign policy thing is of course, pretty accurate. I just think right now we need to just maybe worry about what Biden's going to do with the Secretary of Labor. Hopefully it's going to be Bernie, and Treasury might be Warren. If not, we're in for a long 4 years domestically. On the foreign policy thing, he's already kind of shown what he's all about as far as Russia and the Ukraine are going. But just to think about what we're going to be going through, if we don't get those two appointments, and it's just going to be, you know, brutal.
Yeah, well, you know, we have so many problems at home that that need to be dealt with, and to spend our money and effort stirring up conflicts abroad seems like not a good way to keep things, improve the situation here at home. I agree. And, well, we will see. If Bernie Sanders becomes the Secretary of Labor, I think that would be a very good sign. And Elizabeth Warren, I think that would be another good sign. So we will, that's something that I am hoping for. I suppose we will find out in the coming weeks. It's, well, I guess it's about a month and a half, almost 2 months before the changeover. It always seems strange to me. I think it's unusual in the world that we have this big lag between Election Day and the time where a new president actually takes office. It's just about, it's a little over 2 months, and it's a lot can happen in then. Other countries, you have an election, and the new president is in office within maybe even as early as the very next day. So this is kind of unusual. It gives an outgoing lame duck president like Trump a lot of opportunity to mess things up even more.
You could say something bad.
Anyway, is anybody else? Are you still on the line, Bruce?
Yes, I am.
Well, how do you see? How do you see the next couple weeks or the next month or so before Biden takes over?
Well, I agree. It's hideously long, especially in the pandemic where every restaurant's got to close and everybody's got to close. Everybody's got to change their way of life, but we keep this archaic 90 days or whatever it is. I mean, right now, it'd be the time just to move on through. Of course, we have the issue with him hole up there, and that is just another adventure in what this has turned out to be. But this would be the time to expedite things and pull up the van and get the new clown car in there.
Yeah, you pull up the moving van, get Trump out of the White House before he does any more mischief. I mean, he's been, I don't know, I guess he's going out in a kind of a fit of pique or something, trying to make things as hard, as difficult as possible for a successor. Well, it's hard to see any purpose in this at all. Anyway, I want to thank you for your call. And if anybody else has an opinion on what lies ahead, well, we're near the end of this half hour. I'd like to say a few words about earlier this month, Jerry Rawlings passed away. And he was the a revolutionary leader of Ghana. And he took over in a kind of a after Nkrumah was Kwame Nkrumah was deposed in Ghana. There were various governments politicians ruling, but then sort of the Jerry Rawlings, who was a an Air Force officer, and others, they overthrew the previous rulers, and Rawlings shaped Ghana into the country it is today. And he had won several elections. He was a kind of a revolutionary leader, and he was they took over in 1979.
This week on Making Contact. One of the biggest.
Are we?
Go ahead, Perry. You can finish it out.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just want to put in a word that it's kind of a sad news that Jerry Rawlings died. He was only 73, and but.